Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Ingrid Janssen. She is the co-founder of the Declutter Hub and co-author of Reset Your Home. As we enter a new year, it is the perfect time to start your decluttering journey and get yourself organized. How are you, Ingrid?
Hello, Hannah. Happy New Year to you and all of your listeners.
Thank you.
It's Monday, the 5th of January.
Yes. How did that happen?
It just all went by in a flash, didn't it? I mean, we were just talking beginning of December and poof, it's all behind us. It's all gone.
Absolutely. Wow. It's strange, isn't it? Did you have a good Christmas? You had a nice time with your family?
I did. We went back to the Netherlands to celebrate with my family. As always, a packed schedule, but it's the best time of year, isn't it, really, to see everyone and catch up and just... Oh, I shouldn't have stood on the scales the other day. Hannah, not just yet.
Yes, I know what you mean, definitely. So because it's the start of a new year, a lot of people are thinking about New Year's resolutions or things that they can do differently, ways to improve themselves and their lives. And one of the ways that people can do that or a great place to start is in their homes. You know, we've all heard of people saying if you have a declutter house, you have a decluttered mind. The two can really go together.
Oh, it's, you know what? It's so important because, you know, you spend a lot of time at home. I know we have all got busy lives and we, you know, if either volunteer or care or go to work or do lots of things, but we, of course, are also at home a lot and not only to sleep normally. You know, we are in our kitchens, in our living rooms, in our bedrooms. We sometimes work from home as well. So when you're home, it's such an important part of life and it needs to be a place where you feel calm and where you feel like, you know, you can do you live your best life. And when your house is cluttered, it has a tremendous impact on yourself and the other people around you. And yeah, it can really help to declutter and just kind of, and I'm not going all cold turkey here, Hannah. I think people can get carried, they can get carried away a little bit, right? Everything needs to go. We're going to get a skip and that's it.
Oh gosh.
slowly but surely, because we don't want this decluttering kind of excitement to wane like in 2 weeks' time when it's like, oh, I'm exhausted. Why was this a good idea? So doing decluttering slowly but surely can really, really help to it takes time.
Yeah.
There's no silver bullet. There's no magic wand. There's no hacks. Decluttering takes time, but it can really, really help you in the long term to really figure out what's important for me. What's important in my life? What do I want to spend my time and energy on? And when you're surrounded by clutter, it can really take away from that ability to pursue the things you really love in life and which are important for you. So having less clutter only has benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that we always say, which is really, really important, because it can be so overwhelming for people if they do have a really cluttered house where pretty much every room is full of stuff. It can be really difficult to know where to start. You just think, oh, this is too big a job. I'll do it another time, and just keep putting it off and it gets worse and worse and worse. The idea is really to start small. Start by one little corner of the room or a cupboard or a drawer. And it's amazing how you can feel after doing a small area like that to inspire you to do another cupboard or another drawer. And that's how it starts.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have experienced a lot of overwhelm. They feel, you know, when they're just exhausted looking at all the clutter, and then they feel bad and they feel guilty. And why have I let it gone this far? And all of those things. And then they feel guilty for not getting off the sofa and doing something about it. And now I've wasted another day. But it really, honestly, it starts with the smallest, tiniest steps. Don't think about, I have to do my whole house. That might be the case, but that kind of thinking doesn't get you anywhere. It's like, how do I get to the top of the Mount Everest, right? It's like, it's impossible. But thinking, you know what? I'm just going to today look at my Tupperware containers and just going to find the correct lid with the correct bottom. And I'm going to just match them up and everything that doesn't fit is out. Or I'm just going to look at the drawer that has my cutlery and I'm just going to put my forks and my knives and my spoons together and see what else is in there. You don't have to do 25 cupboards. You don't have to do a whole room. You don't have to do your own house. It starts with the tiniest step with maybe I just need to start with doing the washing up, or I'm just going to do a load of laundry to kind of get back on track after the whole holiday period. And I've still got, yes, I know I've got 12 loads to do, but let me just start with one. Just one. And I think we can all get a bit carried away, you know, looking on socials and thinking, and you're seeing all these beautiful houses with these containers and these labels. And yeah, but that's what I want. And it's like, okay, but that's great. But let's go back to basics. Let's take a couple of steps back first and go, right, I need to get moving. I need to just do 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And if that feels good, you know what? I'm going to do another 5 or 10 minutes. And this is how you slowly but surely build it up. It's the same as when you're trying to, like, I'm started the walking challenge, Hannah.
Brilliant.
I know. I've started, and because I don't mind walking at all. So, and the lady that I'm following just says, you don't have to immediately walk 6.5K in an hour like I do. Just get out of your house. Just get and walk around for 5 or 10 minutes. And it's the same with decluttering. It's the same with decluttering.
Definitely.
Slowly but surely.
And the same with writing a book, you know, with the book show I host. I've interviewed so many authors who talk about how they, you know, for years they felt like they had a novel in them, but it took them so long to do it because the whole idea of writing a book is such a big thing. And you think, oh, I haven't got time to write a book because I'm too busy. But again, you don't sit down and then produce a book. You do it bit by bit. So it's just, you know, dedicating 20 minutes a day or whatever you can do and doing a little bit, getting as much as you can, a couple of hundred words or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just putting aside that time and making a start. Exactly the same sort of theory, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I think once we start to teach people how to break it down, it's, you know, it's great to have a goal, right? Why are you doing this? Why are you decluttering? And a goal, well, I want my house to be tidy, is too vague. You need to go, okay, why do I want this so much? I want this because I want to open a door to the postman or my neighbors without being embarrassed. Or I want to sort out my house because I would love my grandchild to come for a sleepover. Or I want to invite my friend over for a cup of tea and a cake without feeling that I have to shuffle 20 piles of stuff around and feel embarrassed to let her in.
Mm.
That's kind of your big picture. Picture goal. What's your big picture goal? And people have loads of different big picture goals. So people are like, I just want to be able to craft. I love crafting, but I can never do it because it's my house is such a mess and the craft room is full up. So what's your big picture goal? And then go, okay, what do I need to do to achieve this? And how can I break this down? If you, for example, take the kitchen as an example, you start with your cupboard with your mugs and tomorrow you're going to do your glasses and the day after you're going to look at your utensils and a day later you're going to look at your plates and then a day later you're going to look at your pots and pans. In your bathroom, you're going to go, right, let me look at my shampoos today and my conditioner. And tomorrow I'm going to look at all my body washes. And the day after I'm going to look at all the stuff that I've got for my nails. And then you see, you break it down. So instead of going, I have to do the whole insert any room. How am I going to think, right, I can't do all of this in one go. It's impossible. But what I can do is think about what kind of categories of stuff are in this room and can I do it category at a time?
Mm-hmm.
Same with wardrobes, right? A lot of people have absolutely wardrobes that are full to the brim. If it feels far too overwhelming to do it all in one go, just go, you know what? I'm going to look at my jeans today and tomorrow I'm going to look at my shirts and the day after I'm going to look at my tops and then I'm going to look at my t-shirts and then I'm going to look at my pajamas.
Mm.
You need to break it down and do a little little bit every day.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And the other thing that it can be combined with is having a bit of a clean, the idea of having a deep clean, you know, if whether you clean the house yourself or whether you have a cleaner that comes in regularly, they're not necessarily going to be taking everything off shelves or everything out of drawers, everything out of cupboards in order to clean them. You know, most of the time you're just cleaning the surfaces. You're cleaning the surface of the tables, the surfaces in the kitchen, that kind of thing. So it feels good every, I don't know how often we're supposed to do it, who cares about that, but the idea of doing it every so often where you do take everything off a shelf and give it a good clean, and then as you're putting it back, you can look at each thing going, why have I got this on my shelf? Do I really like this? Where did this even come from? Oh, it's chipped. It looks awful. All these kind of decisions, as you're putting things back, you can maybe decide that you don't need these things or don't want these things anymore. And same with the cupboards, you know, getting rid of taking all your mugs out in order to clean the cupboard. As you're putting them back, you can look at each mug and go, do I really like this? What am I keeping this for? And you're decluttering and having a bit of a clean at the same time.
I love it. You know, it's like the perfect opportunity, isn't it? And so it's really important when you're going to declutter that you prepare a little bit. So if you know, oh, I'm going to do my drawer with my pajamas or my swimwear or whatever today. Oh, it's been a while since the stuff has gone out. You know what? Let me get my little Hoover or my little handheld Hoover at the ready and have a bit of a cloth and a spray or some soapy water. And when it's empty, I'm just going to Hoover out the drawer, give it a quick wipe, and then you've got a win-win situation. And you're absolutely right, Hannah. It's almost like when a drawer is empty or a cupboard's empty, the stuff needs to, you know, it needs to deserve space to go back. It's very different to kind of when you have a whole hanging rail full of clothes, it's very easy to kind of shuffle it on the rail, right? Oh, I like that, I like that. But when you take everything out, whether it's mugs, clothes or pajamas, it's you suddenly go, oh, but now I feel what I want to put back. It really... this needs to deserve the space in my house. And you can kind of go, okay. And instead of going, what am I going to declutter? You can turn it around and go, actually, what is important enough for me to keep? What is the swimwear that I like? Which trousers do I love wearing? Which mugs are my favorite? Put those back first. Then you can see how much space you've got left and go, okay, now I've got the stuff that I'm not sure about. And there might be some definite, oh, why is this still in my house? It's chipped, it's broken, it's too small, the elastic has gone, whatever it is. Those can be decluttered, and then the maybes are kind of the ones that are left. You can go, okay, now let me have a kind of more in-depth look at those. Yeah. Because we know we struggle to decide what we let go, but we can identify the things that we love and use and wear and feel good in and are using all the time. Those are the kind of the almost like the easy decisions. So let's start there.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that I've sort of learned to do in recent years as well is if you've got things in your house that you want to keep, normally for sentimental reasons, whether it's an ornament that's been passed down through the family that you want to keep or an item of clothing that belonged to a loved one that you don't want to wear but you want to keep, or even an old mug that you never use but you want to keep it for some reason, keep it in a different place to where you're. So if you've got a mug that you have no intention of using but you want to keep it for a sentimental reason, it doesn't need to be in the cupboard with all your other mugs taking up mug space. You can have boxes that have sort of sentimental things in. I remember I had a jacket that belonged to my grandmother, and for years it was hanging up in my wardrobe, and I knew that I was never going to wear it, but I wanted to keep it because it reminded me of her. So then I thought, well, instead of it taking up space in my wardrobe, I'll put it in a bag with some other clothes that are, you know, t-shirts from when I was a kid that I found that I really wanted to keep because they make me smile, but I'm never going to wear them again. So, you know, storing them, if you are lucky to have a little bit of storage, putting them in a separate place that as and when you want to go down memory lane, you can open up the box or the bag and have a look at these things instead of them taking up space in the areas where you keep the items.
You we have thought you well, haven't we, Hannah? You
are honestly, yes.
You are so on it. I think it depends all on the space that you have in your house. Like some people, like Leslie, for example, she has her her mum's dressing gown in her wardrobe, and she sees it every day, and it makes her happy. Aww. But she has the space to do so.
Yeah.
In your case, you were like, "Ooh, hanging space is at the premium. This is not working for me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to create a box with a couple of other bits that are the quality over the quantity that make me happy. I can pull them out and then look at them. And other people are like, "Oh, I would love to make maybe a special frame for it and do a, like a special wall with things." It all depends on the space and what makes you happy and what makes you look at the items. So that's why decluttering advice, Hannah, is never the same for everybody.
Yeah.
But sometimes what you see out there is like people give advice, but they all, you know, they give the same advice to everybody, but it's specific to everybody's home, their life, their family, their story, their what's, yeah, but mainly also space. Some people just have loads more space than others.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I would love to have a utility room with beautiful shelves and containers with laundry on it and all of the things. But my washing machine is in my kitchen, so it's not going to happen. Yes. And that's okay. So you work with the situation that's available to you. And I love how you've solved it by saying, you know what? I actually really need this space on my wardrobe rail, but I'm going to find the next best solution. And that is put it together with some other things that are special to me. Mm. And that's when you can really kind of dive into that. But just a reminder for all of your listeners, make sure that you do your sentimental items last. So if you come across a couple of sentimental mugs in your kitchen, for example, and you're like, okay, this sounds like good advice, see if you can find like a high up shelf somewhere in your kitchen that's maybe difficult to reach and go, you know what? That's going to be my special shelf. That's going to be the shelf where some items live that I really like to keep, that I love, but I don't use, but they're special to me. And they're going to be together there with friends. And I'm going to look at them later when I have built up my decluttering muscle enough to feel I am ready to do this. Because you have to go through other steps first before you can do sentimental items. They come last. I know you've done the hard work, Hannah. You've done all of the things. You've done clothing and books and things. And I know you still tweak things and do your daily resets and you kind of go back to little drawers and cupboards you've done before. But I know you saved your sentimental for much, much later. So it didn't you didn't let it bog you down, because people get stuck on the sentimental items and then go, yeah, see, it's too hard. I can't do it. Hold on a minute. This sentimental item, just put it to the side for now. Keep on going with the more stuff, the stuff that's easier, and then work your way up, build up your decluttering muscle over time and come back to it later.
Yeah, definitely. And when you're going through sentimental items, if you're lucky enough to have lots of items that you have inherited, I say lucky enough because it can be a special thing to have things that have been passed down from family members. But I think it's a shame when people feel guilty about getting rid of it. You know, if you only had one or two things, then they'd be really precious to you. But if you've got boxes and boxes of stuff that belonged to a family member who've died, I really don't think people need to feel guilty about getting rid of some of those items. Otherwise, you just end up with, well, boxes and boxes of stuff that you don't know what's in there and don't really care what's in there. You know, when you're able to emotionally, if you can go through all that stuff and then select the things that you want to keep, whether it's clothes you want to wear, ornaments you want to have on the shelves, books you want to read, whatever it might be, then you can feel happy about the things that you've chosen to keep, and it's okay to let go of the rest.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing is, if you keep everything, then nothing is special. Mm. And as well, if you've got loads of stuff from other people in your house, then how are you going to look at your current life and your future life if all that stuff is just holding you back in the past? The person will never leave you. They're always in your heart. They're always in your mind. And the stuff although in the beginning it sounds like it represents them, you don't and you can't keep everything.
No.
Because it's important that you also decide for yourself, but who am I? What's important for me? Where do I want to go to in the future? And if you've got so much stuff from the past, you won't have time to let new energy and new things into your house. So I think it's really important to go, okay, start to group like with like and go, okay, because if you just find a box with loads of random sentimental items and you've got 12 of those boxes, you almost have to go, first, hold on a minute, I need to rejig this. I need to re-subcategorize this and put all the ornaments together and put all the books together and put all the cards together and put all the whatever clothes together, and then within each category go, okay, so which are my 2, 3, 5 favorites of this, knowing that it's impossible to keep everything. And I think once you then start to slowly but surely kind of really pick out the precious items, then you also have room to display them and see them and enjoy them, instead of having 12 boxes with stuff that never see the light of day.
Yeah. And I think as well, as people go through different stages of grief, I think a lot of the time people are able to get rid of more things. You know, maybe at the beginning, everything feels too painful, and every photograph, every item of clothing, every book you look at can upset you because you totally associate it with them. So, you know, don't put yourself under pressure to get rid of everything straight away. Put it all aside if you can't handle it, and come back to it in 6 months or whatever, and then you'll probably feel differently about it.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. I mean, when people are grieving, it's really hard, you know, to take it all in.
Yeah.
And there's so much organizing that needs to happen as well. And sometimes people, you know, are in tricky situations when the rental property needs to be returned or the house needs to be sold for whatever reason. There's so many different situations. Mm. But I think really kind of, if you can, if you're not alone in your family, but if you've got brothers and sisters and other family members, see that you get the communication going between you and kind of go, okay, how are we going to do this? How we're gonna, you know, we have to make decisions here. We realize we can't take it all. Do we all agree on a charity where these items can go to? Are there certain items that are precious to different people? Can we negotiate here if we all want the same thing? How are we going to determine how we're going to do this? And it's a lot of give and take. And, you know, on top of grieving for the person who's gone, those are hard decisions. And that's why it's often so hard to do that in the moment.
Yeah.
But as well, you know, the moment will come. Even if you put it in a storage container, if you have a third bedroom in your house and you're going to put all this, the moment will come that it needs to be sorted. And yeah, you can't, you know, and whether that's within 6 months, 3 years or 6 years, there comes a time when you're going to have to go, you know what, I have to sort this out.
Yeah, definitely. And one last quick question for you about your process. I wondered whether you had kind of set times of the year that you like to refresh and reset and go through decluttering things, or do you just do it as and when the moment arises throughout the year?
A combination of things, Hannah. So always, yesterday I actually tidied away all my Christmas decorations, because this is, of course, a very busy time of year for us. So I was like, I want to start with a clean slate. So the living room and all the decorations were cleaned up and taken down and up in the loft. But January, I often use to kind of look at my paperwork, because, you know, it's cold, it's boring, it's, you know, we've got time. So in January is often paperwork. Then kind of March, April time, I always look at my wardrobes and kind of swap my wardrobes from winter just to kind of spring, summer, started to look at that. Often kind of in the warmer months, that is when the garden and the garage and the shed and those kind of areas get done. And then in the kind of September, October, again, it's that swap back through the clothing, because I don't have a massive wardrobe wardrobe in my bedroom, so I have to swap wardrobes.
Yeah, same.
Not everything, but yeah, some of it. And the rest kind of happens as and when. I kind of suddenly think, oh, there's loads of crumbs in this cutlery drawer. I don't know what happened here. Let me just lift out the cutlery, give the container a clean, quick wipe, quick hoover, and then do a little resort. But those are things I can do as and when because, I'm quite organized, so I can do that. But I have one really good, uplifting, hopefully, message for your listeners. The first time decluttering an area or room is the hardest. Once you start to go back for a second or third time on an area, it does get easier. Decluttering is not a project. It's a process and it will come back, but it does get easier over time. I promise you that.
Yes, I'm living proof of that. I enjoy it now. Like, it's fun for me, which is hilarious. 10 years ago, I would have laughed at you for saying that.
I know. It's really a journey that you, have got to go on. This is not a, just you do it once and it never. As long as stuff comes into your house, stuff has to leave. And if your house is quite full, you have to work on both the stuff coming in and the stuff leaving. That's the only way the volume in the house will go down, but you will quickly see the benefits. We work with a lot of people in our membership who have chronic fatigue, chronic illnesses, fibromyalgia, physical health problems, all of that. And they really find out that if you break it down and even if you just do a little, honestly, 5-10 minutes every day, you will see a change coming.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Ingrid Jansen, thank you very much, as usual, for inspiring us. If people want more information, they should definitely look up the Declutter Hub. There's a website, there's a podcast, there's a book, Reset Your Home. All the information is there, all full of great advice. Ingrid, thank you. Happy New Year to you and Leslie.
Pleasure. Thanks, Hannah. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.